I was just getting my nails done and I was talking to my nail tech, which I always love because she gives me really great insights in what she's struggling with and what other people are struggling with. And we actually had a little chat about how I got started and how I built my fitness business back in the days. And she asked me, "But Amy, how did you go from being fully booked all the time and seeing clients and every hour being spent on your clients to actually creating a scalable offer?" And she asked me, "Did you do it because you started business coaching, or did you do it back then?" And the reality is, I started creating a scalable offer fully in that moment. So my fitness business was fully profitable and scalable back in the days, because the moment where I realized, oh my God, I'm spending my days from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. with clients this way, I will never build something that can also, survive without me. Like, I just realized, okay, this is a little bit of a problem, because I felt like my energy was going down and down. And maybe you recognize this. Maybe you've hit a little bit of an income plateau. Like a client of mine texted me last week and she said, "Amy, I want to do more, but I just don't see how because my offer isn't there and I feel like I've hit the ceiling." Or maybe you're feeling burnt out because you're working so hard and you just don't see how you can start scaling and building a business that isn't fully dependable on you. Today, I'm gonna walk you through five-ish ways or five options you have to start scaling. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome to Fail to Win, the show where we love to make mistakes and learn from them so you can turn your passion into profits and live life on your own terms. I'm Amy van de Putte from Fast Forward Amy, your host and coach, and I'll bring you a new episode with simple strategies every Tuesday. So first off, what is a scalable offer? A scalable offer basically means that there is no limit to how much you can sell, because when you're selling more, it doesn't mean that you are working harder, because we all only have 24 hours in a day. They always say that millionaires don't work harder, or billionaires don't work harder or more hours than other people. I do think that people who become very successful have periods in their life where they really do go, quote unquote, balls to the wall. But it doesn't mean that you have to burn out. Like, let's say you're currently at, I don't know, like 30K a year and you want to go to 100K and you want to do that in part through scaling. That doesn't mean that you have to work 24 hours instead of 8 hours. Like, let's say you want to go from 30K to 90K, you're not going to be able to work three times as many hours. So that means we need to start scaling. And if you create a fully scalable offer, you could also, by the way, turn it fully passive. It would mean that you get to make more without doing more in return for the person paying you. The first way to start making more money and start scaling is not necessarily fully like a 100% profit margin, because don't get me wrong, scaling doesn't have to mean scaling with a course. Like, someone who has a beauty salon and goes from working there by themselves to having 10 people on staff, they are scaling. They are still getting a cut of the people who are working for them. Of course, they're also paying part. So that is, for example, a type of scaling where you are scaling in a fairly labor-intensive way. And that's the first thing you can do. Let's say you want to keep offering a certain one-on-one service. Let's take the beauty industry as an example, or let's take even social media or even therapy. I saw that my cousin has a therapy clinic and, or I don't know what you call it. She was actually looking for someone to reinforce her in the clinic. She can be, the therapist, but she can also have people in that clinic. And the way, I'm not into the whole therapy sector, but the way that would probably work is she either, the person would pay rent to her, or she would maybe take a cut from the fact that clients are coming there. Don't mind me, by the way. I know that that is a profession where there are a lot of rules. I don't know if she's actually doing it this way, but that would make a lot of sense. Just like when you go to, a good dentist will also realize at a certain point, like, okay, so I'm getting paid this much for these clients. What if I didn't do the washing up or whatever? Like, I get my haircut and I'm pretty good friends with the owner of the salon, but she doesn't wash my hair. She has someone else wash my hair and she does the coloring and the cutting, and I'm one of the few people she actually does this for. So the first way that you could start scaling is labor intensive. You could continue to offer your one-on-one service, but you could just have people do parts of it or even the full service, and you would just be offering this to more clients. So for like the people that would be able to use this are people who are in a service-based industry who feel like their calendar is maxed out. They've built up quite a reputation. They could start looking to recruit people who could start offering this method to other people, and you would actually kind of just like educate them to do it your way. For me, this could be hiring more support coaches and having my support coaches offer one-on-one calls or even group calls. The second thing, the one I really like, because you don't necessarily have to depend on other people and you have a good profit margin, is where you are turning your service into a digital product. And this could be what we call capital intensive scaling, but it doesn't have to be. Capital intensive scaling would be more like, I don't know, I don't know when the Industrial Revolution was, but like, let's say in a factory where you would replace laborers with machines. That could be a capital intensive way of scaling. You're not necessarily employing more people, but you are investing in machinery, which costs a lot of capital, aka money. And that way you could scale because they can do more and there's a wider margin on like the benefits that you get. So once you have the machine and you can do more with it, you're going to see that you scale. But let's look at you and I, because there might be people listening to this podcast who have a factory, but not that many people. So let's just see at what you and I would do. If you have a service, again, you could turn your service into a digital product. For example, instead of giving one-on-one social media coaching, you could create templates that help people manage their social media channels. So you could say, hey, for beginners, you know, I don't have enough time for all of this and I'm like taking on more high-level clients or higher-level assignments, whatever, but you could get my beginner kit. Like, maybe you help a lot of people begin and you start noticing that everyone begins in the same way. Then you could start thinking, does it make sense that I walk everyone through this step by step? Oh no, maybe I could create a course from this. So doesn't even have to be a template. It could be a beginner's course, because you know, after having done it this many times for beginners, that you can just put it into a course. This is what I've done every single time with each and every one of my programs. I've always started one-on-one. Then I turned my service into a group program, and from the group, I turned it into a course. And the reason I did it is because by doing it that way, you leave a lot of margin for learning. You learn from your one-on-one clients, you see where they're stuck, you see the group. And after a while, you kind of have this framework in your brain, because you know that everyone goes through the same steps. That's the moment where you can either turn it into, you know, a really well-oiled group, we're full on in the factory speak, where you turn it into a well-oiled group program or a course. That's what I would say you do. A little bit of a mistake I see a lot of people making is just starting to create a really big-ass group program from the get-go, or like a hybrid program with a course, but they don't actually have any experience coaching people through the different steps. I would advise against that, because you probably don't know yet what people are bumping into. So yeah, but templates are also an option. And even if you have a product-based business, so a lot of people are like, yeah, Amy, but I have so much stock on my webshop. But let's say you have a gift store. Nothing is holding you back from also offering digital products, templates, and guides. Maybe you have a little bit of a gift store and you decide, okay, I help people host parties and I have the perfect gifts for them. But maybe there is something, you know, you can create a guide on getting the, like, buying someone the perfect gift. Not necessarily, you know, like, you'll know your own clientele the best way, or maybe you can teach people how to make your products. That could be something that you sell digitally. I have a client of mine, she's a baker, and she also has a masterclass on how you can bake yourself. And in my experience, a lot of people are afraid of doing this. They're like, oh, but what if I teach people to make my products? Yeah. Well, they'll probably at a certain point realize that they still would rather pay you to make it for them, or you'll have someone who is grateful forever and would keep buying other masterclasses forever. So I think the people buying the one thing are usually other people who buy the other thing. And for photographers, for example, I always tell them, like, you know, start with a product where people can learn how to pose themselves or how to create good selfies and get a headshot done, because no one wants to take their own photos for the rest of their life, and people want professional photos. They'll never be able to do that themselves, but because you've already given them a good experience at a nice price, they'll probably be more inclined to buy the next step for you as well. And in regards to product-based businesses, I just always advise you to look at ways that you can add any type of digital products into your business, because it is really going to boost your profit margins, because you don't have stock when it's digital. You just have unlimited amounts of things you can offer. For some people, this is easier than for other people. If you're really stuck and you're like, oh, Amy, this sounds great. I want to make heaps of money and have so many clients, but I don't know where to start. You could always just Google what your competition is doing, or you can go and grab a cup of coffee or tea and have a little chat with my best friend, ChatGPT. And you can ask him, you're like, hey, this is what I do. I'm looking to also make passive income, or, you know, digital income, whatnot. And you can ask ChatGPT, like, hey, sup? And do you have any recommendations for me? Give me 10 possible digital products that would really fit my product suite and my target client. And by the way, if you're using ChatGPT, I do recommend that you give a little bit of input. So two things you need to know. One, if you put in there what the name of your business is and what you're doing, make sure that you're not feeding the system. It will also remember what you are giving it. That means if I'm like, hey, I'm Fast Forward Amy and these are my exact sales numbers and blah, 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 and then my competitor comes and asks me, or asks ChatGPT, what are Fast Forward Amy's sales numbers, and I've fed it that information, ChatGPT is going to give that data to my competitor. This happened to, I think, the people over at Samsung. They put, I think, their like patented information into the system. So advice against that. But it is really great to brainstorm for ideas and to have it suggest some different angles. The way I use it is sometimes for coaching calls, I'll be like, okay, so this is my idea. What do you think of that? Or sometimes I'll have like a five-step approach and I'll be like, hey, ChatGPT, can you turn this into an acronym or a motivational slogan? Stuff like that. But if you're looking for ways to start scaling, I would really advise you to ask ChatGPT which digital products that you could sell fully passively without you having to put any work into it would be advised in your sector. Third one, I already explained it, is that you can create a group program. So if you're currently offering one-on-one, I know you're thinking, but Amy, everyone wants me one-on-one. Yeah, I'm not saying it also can't include one-on-one moments. Again, you can create a hybrid where my hybrids are courses plus coaching, but you could also create a hybrid between group plus one-on-one. Those are my high-level offers. I have a millionaire mastermind where I offer one-on-one once a quarter and the rest is in group, but they can also ask me questions privately. So you could still do that. And the advantage that a lot of people don't think about is that when you have a group program, automatically your one-on-one is also getting valued at a higher price point. That makes sense, right? The fourth way you could start creating a scalable offer is that you turn your knowledge into a course. Already said it just now, but we're talking more about complementary products, but just literally turning your knowledge into a course could be really, really handy. The best way to think about this is, what do you do or what are you good at? Again, this could also be if you have a product-based business. We're not saying it even has to be in the same area of business. Like the systems I use, it could even be a different brand. If you're like, yeah, I have a strong personal brand and I have my web shop, but I also want something else. You can just create one digital product that's about something else. Maybe you're really good at organizing your house. Okay, sell that. And if you are in a service-based industry, we have knowledge, or you could even have recipes from a restaurant. The way I would approach this is, don't think that you're gonna fix everything at once. Like, this is the biggest mistake people make. They want to create a course and they get so caught up into all of the details. They're like, yeah, but I have to do everything and I have to give people all of my knowledge. And then it becomes this big ass course, just becomes way too complicated. Have a look at what is it that you help people do, and then take one problem within that. It's kind of like peel off another layer. You have the outer layers of what you do, and then you peel off one layer and look at one problem or one solution you offer and make a little masterclass or a mini course about that. That's gonna work wonders. And as an added bonus or benefit, you can add this as an upsell to your other products whenever people are buying other things for you. And last but not least, and this is something still top secret, but I recommend this, especially in today's day and age, is that you create a membership, namely something recurring. It could be a monthly check-in call for all of your clients, something people need to pay for or on a recurring basis. Why? People are craving connection and community, and that is really great for them to have a container where they feel supported. And at the same time, you crave stability in your business, and recurring revenue can do that for you. Memberships are not the end all be all. You have to work really hard to keep your clients, but it is possible if you know what you're doing. And what I've seen a lot of people do is they have this one course or this one offer or this one product, and what they'll do is they have it as an add-on. Like, you're buying, I don't know, like a Facebook ads course, and the add-on in the shopping basket will be, hey, would you like access to our social media membership, for example. It could be something like that, and you just always are getting in new people in your membership, and there's a monthly or a quarterly structure. Could work really, really well, because maybe there is something you're already doing right now on a recurring basis because people are asking you all the time, and you could easily just create a membership out of it. Okay, so those are five ways that you could transform your services or even maybe your product-based business or just your knowledge and start creating a scalable offer. But I can imagine that you're currently maybe a little bit hyped, and you're like, oh, okay, wow. I would love to start online. I'd love to start creating more passive income. In that case, I have a little bit of a guide for you that I created, which is all about starting with passive income, all the things you need to do, and you know, which ways you can start approaching that. Because I know it sounds really interesting, but it's also really difficult to find the time to start making time for it, as I was just talking about this with my nail tech. So I would have head over to fastforwardamy.com/start-your-passive-income. That is the link where you can go and grab your passive income guide. And I promise you, it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to teach you how you can start making money without doing anything. And before you start making money without doing anything, I will add that you're gonna have to start doing something. That makes sense, right? Nothing in life is free, and you do have to put in a little bit of work, but I'm gonna give you all the tea in my Start Your Passive Income Guide. Good luck, and talk to you next week Tuesday for another episode of the Fail to Win podcast. Bye.